and they'd be 4-2. Which, do you listen to Lainey Wilson at all, Donnie? Does Sarah get into that?
Nah.
No? What do you make of her? I think he did okay for himself, Duck.
Yeah, he definitely did. And he loves reminding everybody of that, too.
He really does. That has become his gimmick. His whole gimmick is now, I've outkicked my coverage. It's a little old, you know? But anyways. Oh, they've done it against crap teams. So I have the teams with the five best records in the AFC in front of me. Steelers, Ravens, Bills, Texans, Chiefs. The Ravens, to their credit, the combined win percentage or win-loss record of their opponents is 20-15. So they've gotten to the same record as the Steelers. They've beaten teams that are five games over 500. The Steelers' six opponents are a combined 18-17, one game over. The Chiefs, 5-0, teams they've beaten, combined record, 15-14. One game over 500, same as the Steelers. Texans, 5-1, five teams they've beaten, combined record, 18-17, same as the Steelers. So, are people saying the Chiefs are 5-0 having beaten crap teams? Are people saying the Texans are 5-1 having beaten crap teams? The winning percentage is the same. The Bills, their combined opponents, 16-20. Four games under 500. Are people saying that the Bills are paper champions? And with the Bills and Ravens and Chiefs, they've done more winning than the Steelers recently. But just as far as this year goes, the teams that Justin Fields has played against, he's not played a weak schedule. He's played a decent schedule, and he's beaten four of those six teams. So if it's about winning, I mean, are there Steelers fans out there who think that Russell Wilson would have them at 6-0 right now? Because I don't. Are there Steelers fans that are convinced he'd have them at 5-1? They'd absolutely be in better shape right now had he never hurt his calf? 412-928-9370. If you're just joining us, Justin Fields saying today that he doesn't think he's played well enough to be the Steelers' starting quarterback. Is he right? 412-928-9370. Arthur Smith saying that Fields has done a good job, but that this is about winning. Does that argument to take Justin Fields out of the lineup make sense to you? 412-928-9370. Here is Brian in the North Hills. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man.
Good, yeah. So, with Russell Wilson starting this weekend, I'm not a fan of it, but it's probably a perfect time to see. He'll be playing with the same offensive personnel that Fields has got this year. See if there really is a passing game and Fields isn't a passer. But I really think the best prop bet would be Jets defense over under four sacks on Russell Wilson. And if he plays the whole game, I bet they get six.
Do you think that Russell Wilson will start and finish the game?
Probably not, because if he keeps getting sacked with the offensive line and hurried and he's not
Brian,
mobile.
But you just shot down your initial argument. If you think the guy's going to be a sitting duck back there and he's going to get destroyed, then now is not the right time to play him.
Correct, but I think if you wait even to the break and they pick up another receiver, then you really won't know if Fields has a passing game or not. You're going to see now, you're putting in a passer with Russell Wilson saying he's a better passer than Fields and he can read defenses better. Well, you'll find out. He's got apples to apples to compare with. No help with the receiver core, the same receiver core, same offensive line.
Well, I actually disagree with the apples to apples. I mean, the playmakers in the offense are the same. Zach Frazier has been the Steelers' best offensive lineman through 6 weeks, and he's not in this game. So the excuse makers for Russell Wilson could say, you put an undrafted center, a guy with very little experience, a guy that's not very good at his job, in front of Russell Wilson, and he was running for his life. What did you expect him to do with that big subtraction from the Steelers' offense? Eric is next. Hello, Eric.
Hey, good sir. Hey, I appreciate you taking my call. I watch you guys on the YouTubes.
Nice.
When I'm picking up my kids.
Cool.
I just want to start by saying I'm a huge supporter of Fields. And I do think that there is things that Wilson obviously is going to do better than Fields at this stage in his career, you know, with processing and reading defenses and so on and so forth. But I absolutely think it's a terrible idea. And I do believe the only reason that makes any sense to me as to why it would be done now is the fact that Tomlin's really having to manage personalities like he, you know, is famous for, in the sense that Wilson is healthy. There's nothing, there's no more excuses. There was no change in on the depth chart with Wilson and Fields. And we know from past history that Wilson has a huge camp behind him. And obviously Fields is kind of more of a, I don't want to say more of a team player, but he will publicly come out and say, hey, I'm not doing this well enough. I'm not doing that well enough. And Wilson has always been the, you know, I'm the guy type personality. And if he doesn't go in this week, you know, I do believe that there will be a whole media storm from Wilson's camp. And there's just no more putting it.
I'm paying Mike Tomlin $20 million a year to manage personalities and make tough decisions and massage egos and try to make the best football decision and not make it based on how human beings are going to react to them. I'm not saying you're wrong, but if you really believe that, then that is a horse crap reason to make a quarterback change.
I agree 100%. I'm completely on board with that, but I can't see another reason why they would do it this week. This defense is the Jets defense. You know, Saleh got fired, but he didn't get fired because of the defense. He got fired because of Rodgers.
In the last two plus seasons, they've given up 300 passing yards in a game one time. That's it.
Right.
They are an elite pass defense. And thank you, Eric. And thank you for watching on YouTube. You said something that a lot of people seem to say about what Russell Wilson does better. And I'm just curious how people have gotten to this point. I keep hearing people say he processes and reads defenses better. Then why does it take him the same amount of time to get rid of the ball? Both guys get rid of the ball in 3 seconds, which is slow. So what does Russell Wilson do in those 3 seconds that Justin Fields doesn't do? Russell Wilson really takes 3 seconds to scan the entire field, whereas Fields looks at one guy for 3 seconds. If he's such a quick processor, then the ball should be out of Russell Wilson's hands in 2.5 seconds, not three. And that might not seem like a big difference to you, but believe me, it is in the NFL. 412-928-9370. Here is Dave in Delmont. Hello, Dave.
Hey, thanks for picking
Dave,
my call.
Dave, who the hell is that screaming in the background?
It's a CB or whatever, radio or whatever.
Oh. Why do you have one? Why is it so loud?
Because they talk on the thing all the time. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
It's amusement.
Oh.
Sorry about that.
It's all right.
Hey, you know, I'm not... you know, Fields might have came out and said, hey, you know, I could have been better. He might see in the... when they're showing the, you know, the game films that maybe he is missing people, but, you know, that's why he's running and getting first downs, whether it's good or bad. Yeah, there might be a little bit of truth to it. I don't know. But what I wanted to talk about was, you know, Russell Wilson was always going to be the starter. If he wasn't going to be the starter, and Tomlin always telling him week after week, hey, when you're healthy, you're going to be the starter. Because if I was Russell Wilson, if I knew that Justin Fields was going to be the starter and I was never going to get a chance,
yep,
I would have bolted for Miami. I mean, it only makes sense. He's not going to stand there and take it to be the backup.
I agree with you on that, Dave, but my thing is, if you played Justin Fields this week, how does that turn into Russell Wilson's never going to get a chance to start? I mean, if the Steelers have a two-game losing streak against the Jets and Giants and Fields doesn't play well, you could bet your ass that Russell Wilson would play against Washington.
But what if Fields finally just plays out of his mind and just has a huge game? You know dang well that he's not going to put Russell Wilson after that. That would just be
suicide. You'd like to think that, You'd like to think that.
And one other thing real quick, I'm sorry to think. Do you think that when we played Atlanta and Denver that we caught him at a good time?
Yes. I do. Definitely Atlanta. Less so Denver. I think Bo Nix has been better since that game, but not great by any stretch, but definitely Atlanta. Yeah, that was good timing.
If you make a change like that, I mean, I think you look at everything. I mean, you try to look at it from every vantage point, but that's why you have to have conversations. No decision is ever easy. You know, that's what I said. When you become callous to it or numb, you probably should get out of this thing. But I think his confidence should be high. You know, he's 4-2. He's been pretty productive. And so whatever Mike tells us to do, like I said, I've got it ready either way. And just working them, and that's my job.
All right, Arthur Smith saying there that Justin Fields' confidence should be high, even though Fields said today that he hasn't played well enough. Russell Wilson set to go in. We'll hear from him later in the show. Also want to hear from you at 3:16. Time to stop blindly paying those increasing auto and home insurance premiums. Contact the Buell Insurance Agency today on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. 3:15 on Thursdays usually means Bob Pompiani. But I think Bob is somewhat angry at me because he keeps asking me to do the showdown Sunday nights, and I keep saying no because I already have an obligation to do the First in Pod podcast with Patrick Peterson. That's live after Sunday Night Football, and you can download it now wherever you get podcasts. It's a full review of every Sunday game and also a preview of every Sunday game. That podcast for the Sunday previews will drop tomorrow morning. So I think Bob is, this is his way of getting back at me, is blowing me off when Mulsey's not here. I guess turnaround is fair play. 412-928-9370. That means you and I just have more time to talk to each other. Here is Joe in Bridgeville. Hello, Joe.
Hey, Pony.
Hey, Joe.
I think you're a hypocrite.
Yep. Tell me why.
I think that you, at the beginning of the year, were all about Russell Wilson. And you get a guy that comes in and wins a few games. Now you're jumping on the bandwagon.
Okay.
Just like everybody else. Do you want to win a Super Bowl or do you want to win regular season football games? Because you're not going to win a Super Bowl with Fields, and you know it.
Do you think we're going to win a Super Bowl with Russell Wilson?
He's won one before. What's Fields ever done?
Well, so is Roethlisberger. Should we call him back and see if he wants to come out of retirement? He's actually won two. Maybe we can get Eli Manning off the Manning cast and see if he wants to come here and compete for the job.
See, now you're just being silly.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, Russell Wilson won a Super Bowl a long time ago. Nick Foles has won one more recently.
Right, and you brought Russell Wilson in because he's won Super Bowls and he's a proven talent.
I think they brought him in because he was available and he was willing to play for only $1 million.
Oh. You want to win Super Bowls. Now, the Steelers, that's what they're all about. They want to win Super Bowls, not regular season football games.
Okay. I just said Russell Wilson's won one playoff game since 2016. That's one more than Tomlin's won playoff games.
Yeah, maybe he hasn't been in the right situation since then.
And do you think this is the right one?
I don't know. I hope so, right? Or else, what's the point?
Well,
why just keep him on the bench?
Because the other guy hasn't played bad.
How do you know Russell Wilson's going to play bad?
Why bench a guy that hasn't played for a guy, or why bench a guy that hasn't played bad for a total question mark?
You got to find out.
Why now, though?
You got him here for a reason. You got to find out.
Why can't we find out in 2 or 3 weeks if Justin Fields plays poorly?
Because you can't wait.
Why?
You got to win now. You got
to
win.
So just to make sure I hear you right, you think Russell Wilson gives them a better chance to beat the Jets than Fields?
Yes.
So a guy that isn't as mobile as Fields, who's playing behind a battered offensive line, playing against one of the great sacking teams in the NFL, great quarterback pressure teams, he gives you a better chance to win this game on Sunday.
You keep making that argument that he's rusty, he hasn't been.
He is.
What do you think he's doing? What do you think he's doing all week in practice? You don't think Tomlin's got him?
He wasn't doing a lot. He's admitted as much until recently.
Tony Dungy just said last week that he was at the practice and said Russell Wilson was lighting it up. So now you're contradicting Tony Dungy?
Ben Roethlisberger said don't bench Justin Fields for Russell Wilson. You want to contradict Big Ben?
Also, Ben,
you don't
that's
think
the word of God? Now we're listening to Ben Roethlisberger.
You just made Tony Dungy sound like he's the guy that invented friggin' quarterback football, for crying out loud.
He was at the practice.
Who do you think?
He's unbiased.
Who do you think knows more about? Who do you think knows more about quarterbacks, Roethlisberger or Dungy?
That's
who?
Dumb.
Who does?
I think Tony Dungy is a very smart individual and just saw Russell Wilson at practice and said he looked good.
It's practice. It's not games. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate the back and forth and for you calling me names. Here's Anthony in Oakland. Hello, Anthony.
You know, I'm going to give you some intelligent talk on this subject, if you allow me.
You don't think the last guy was?
No. Here's what I think happened. And I've looked at some of the tape, and he has been missing wide open wide receivers. That's just, you can't hide from that fact. But he does give you the running skills that very few quarterbacks in this league, except for Mr. Jackson. Mm-hmm. So, but here's what's happened here. And I put the fickle finger of fate on Tomlin. His mindset in don't have my offense screw it up because of my defense has restricted what Arthur Smith really can do. So if anybody's to blame on why they lost those two games, it's Mr. Tomlin himself. And let me, you know, so that here's what I dissected. The Dallas game was the key. And I think seeing Dallas being dismantled last week pushed Tomlin into this direction. He saw his team struggle with a Dallas team on defense who had Parsons not there, Lawrence not there, Bland not there, mm-hmm. Diggs banged up. And what did Goff do? Put up 47.
Yeah.
My team struggled to put up 17, even though we still could have won if my vaulted defense falls on a fumble that's laying there for the whole world to see. So, to me, Tomlin has to look in the mirror and blame partly himself. But there are things that Fields can do while he's out, he's self-evaluating and do be able to read the defense better and release quicker.
I just feel like Tomlin moved the goalposts on the guy. If the idea was to not turn the ball over, have a defense play great football for you, win these low scoring games, run the ball a lot, and that was good for him, well, then if that's what he wanted, Justin Fields came pretty close to executing that plan perfectly. You know, there's a few mistakes in there, but overall he did what he was asked to do, and now he's losing his job because of it.
Well, look, let's talk what happened. Indy game. Well, okay, the slow starts I think also played a part. If Russell Wilson comes on, gives him a fast start, then he may be justified. But your defense, your vaulted defense, gave up 17 quick ones.
Yep.
If they would have stopped at 17, your offense came back, would have won that game. The Dallas game, I think, was the clincher.
Well, here's the other thing about the Dallas game that people have brought up. If they get that stop on the last play, is Fields starting this week against the Jets?
I still don't think so.
No, even though he led a touchdown drive in the fourth quarter.
I still don't, because here's my interpretation. You got to put up more than 17 when you got Dallas looking like that. And a real offense, aggressive offense, did it.
Guess what? Thank you, Anthony. I'm not going to – I don't want to be the guy that gets on a high horse here and says he played a great game against the Cowboys. The only thing I'm going to say again about that is – when the team trusts its defense as much as it does, and the dude orchestrates a end-of-game touchdown drive, I thought for Tomlin that was good enough, but it's not, evidently. Follow us on Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia. We'll take more of your calls on this. I guess Pomp did blow us off.
No, we have news on that. He just texted me.
What'd he say?
He just never noticed the text from earlier.
Oh.
So if we wanted to get him here in a few minutes, we could do so.
Oh, yeah. That music means it's time for PMT Power Rankings, 3:30 on a Thursday. That's when we do it. By the way, Verizon's the official 5G network of the Steelers, and they are treating deserving veterans like our friend Johnny the Barber, who had scrotal surgery, to lunch with Cam Hayward. Head to a Verizon store by October 20th, that's this weekend, to nominate a vet. No purchase necessary, 18 plus to enter. Visit lunchwithcamhayward from verizon.com for details. In honor of Sid, 1,600 points. Malkin, 500 goals. Donnie ranking the top five duos in Pittsburgh sports history. I wrote down 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 who I think would be eligible for the top five here. So let's see if from my eight, you pick the five. And let's see from my eight which ones you left on the cutting room floor. So don't give me the honorable mentions now.
Okay.
You have honorable mentions. I want you to save those. And I want you to go right to five.
Number five. I go with Big Poison and Little Poison.
Oh, I love it.
Lloyd and Paul Wehner.
I totally forgot about them. When you got nicknames like that, though, how do you...
I'm shocked you didn't have them. Yeah. I thought they would have been like an easy...
You know why? Because I think Little Poison's overrated all time. I think Big Poison's like a legit stud. But I think Little Poison's kind of a fraud. And if not for the cool nicknames, I mean, that's the only thing that saved him here in this spot.
I mean, I think that way about some other names that are going to come up during this segment. But when you think about the great iconic Pittsburgh duos, that's also why I didn't want to have them too high. But there's other names that I'm going to put out there that I think individually overrated as players.
Lloyd Wehner was a one-time All-Star. I know things were different back then, but is in the Hall of Fame.
That's back when men were men.
Yeah. Let's see here. Baseball Reference.
They weren't taking days off for forearm tightness.
No, he played for the Pirates for 17 years and was a career 319 hitter with the Pirates. Okay, good player. I just think it's hilarious that we go back 100 years to find, or close to 100 years to find your first tandem here when you're a guy that's still in his 20s. Number four.
Franco Harris and Rocky Blyer.
Ooh, that's another one I thought about that I didn't have written down.
The only running back tandem in NFL history to have four Super Bowls and win them all together. They were great in that first Super Bowl, which that team will be honored on Sunday night.
A little late for those guys.
Super Bowl IX team.
Asking them to stay up.
It is. I mean, I'm pretty pumped. I'm pumped for that, though. That always gets me buzzing anytime like old players come back, no matter who they are. Like, once we get down the road and maybe we get the Super Bowl 40 and 43 teams, you know, way down the road here.
The old cowboy comes back. He's in his 60s.
See, the one guy, though, that would set the place on fire if he walked through that gate would be Jack Lambert, but he ain't leaving the treehouse.
Nope.
So Harrison Blyer at number four. See, Blyer, I think, an example, American hero off the field, probably a tad overrated, I would say, as a player.
And like, a guy that told us after bad Steelers losses would just drink straight booze.
We got that in here somewhere. Where is he?
That was epic. Both of them had 1,000-yard seasons.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, very different game back then, too.
Okay, so Blyer and Franco in the same backfield. Three?
Swan and Stallworth. Same teams pretty much as the group I just mentioned, mentioned. Now, Swan, you know my take on Lynn Swan.
Overrated.
I think individually overrated as a player.
Uh-huh.
But a tandem with Stallworth, they were at that time, I don't know, probably one of the, I would say they had to be one of the best in the league. I wasn't around back then to have them all rattle off the top of my head. But both guys in the Hall of Fame,
yeah,
both with iconic Super Bowl moments,
yep.
Swan especially. Stallworth, I always thought, was a way more complete player.
Played longer, and even in 84. I mean, he's
with bad
in his 30s,
quarterbacks,
and he's playing,
playing
with Mark
well.
Malone putting up huge numbers. I would say they're the first great wide receiver tandem in NFL history, as far as both guys and ending up in the Hall of Fame together. Two.
Lemieux and Yager. If they had played more of their career together, I mean, they still obviously got a chunk of years. They won a couple of titles together.
Uh-huh.
But Yager eventually went elsewhere, and the guy played forever. Two individual players, just looking at that, they'd be number one, because one of them... maybe the best player ever. One of them has played until he's like 55 years old and would still score goals. And both of them just iconic Pittsburgh athletes individually. Still great as a tandem, still accomplished a ton. But I just feel like their time together wasn't as long as
the group,
maybe we wish it was.
As the pair you have at number one.
Which is Crosby and Malkin. I do think that these two... create the best duo that we've seen in this city. Three Stanley Cup wins. They played together for two decades. I was in like fourth grade when these guys started playing together. And now here I am. I'm 6 years out of college.
I was in college.
And they are still playing together, still playing at a high level, mind you. Crosby was out of his mind last season.
And Malkin leads the league in points right now.
Malkin's been great this season. People give Malkin some flack because maybe he gets a little bit too passionate in-game. He makes some stupid mistakes. Still an awesome player. So many cool moments from him. And Crosby, just the most... You know who I would compare him to? Funny enough, because I'm going to bring this up tonight. He's like the Bret Hart of hockey. And I mean that in a good way. I'm not normally...
So this is a wrestling reference. Help me with it.
So, well, one, they're both Canadian, which I think is funny.
Okay.
Both in the argument of greatest of all time. Both such, like, so well-rounded, great technical players at their given sport or form of entertainment.
Okay.
But also, they're just so straight edge and tight knit that they are just boring.
Yeah.
As a person.
Don't have larger than life personalities.
Yeah. I mean, Crosby is like so plain, there's nothing to talk
plain
about
Jane.
With him outside of the ice, which is not meant to be taken as a complaint because the dude is an absolute legend.
So here are the tandems I wrote down quickly that I thought would crack your top five. Lambert and Hamm. I thought about that as a great
mention,
linebacker duo.
I did wonder, like, one was inside, one was outside.
Joe Green and LC Greenwood. Steel curtain up front. Parker and Stargell hitting 3-4.
So I wonder,
in the Pirates
too,
batting order,
about Stargell and Clemente before that.
Could have done that too, early 70s.
Because I had that in honorable mention.
And how about AB and Big Ben? Prolific quarterback,
now, I mean,
wide
that,
receiver
that
tandem.
One was, it was a lot of fun to watch as a fan, but I think given how things went down at the end, not great.
And but they acted, you were at the tailgate on Sunday. Did they not treat Antonio Brown like a conquering hero?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you should have seen when they first showed up. He and Bell, like, you know, I stayed back with my buddies. I mean, for a while we thought, like, there's not even used to try to get, like, even a picture from a distance. I mean, if I didn't know the guys who were in charge, which, you know, again, another shout out to Kevin and his crew with the terrible tailgate people.
Yep.
If I didn't know the guys in charge, I wouldn't even have given it a shot. All my thinking was, if we get up there, I'll, like, shoot Kevin a text, or I'll, like, yell over his name like Rocky and say, like, hey, man, can you, like, have AB line up over here for 5 seconds? Otherwise, would have been no shot. He also had a shirt on that said, like, stop dwelling or something. As in, like, stop dwelling about the past.
AB?
Yeah. And a MAGA hat, which I'm sure was a big hit with some Steeler fans.
All right, Donnie's top five. Pittsburgh sports tandems. Big Poison, Little Poison. Franco Harris, Rocky Blyer. Swan and Stallworth. Mario and Yager. Sid and Gino. We'll post it online. You can discuss. Tell us who we left off. 412-928-9370. Here's Chris on the fan. Hello, Chris. Chris, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call, Pong.
Sure, man.
Hey, you want to give your guys a sore shot win? Tell them to take the Jets, whatever the points are. There's no way he should be starting Russell Wilson this game at all. He hasn't played 6 games. You can't just throw somebody in, and they haven't played a game all season. When have you ever seen an athlete come in 6 games into a season and have their best game?
Well, you know what? If I felt like it was my last resort and I didn't have a choice, I would do it. If I felt like Fields was hurting my team and holding my team back, and at that point I had almost nothing to lose, I would do it. But that's not the situation here. So that's to your point. And by the way, on the betting market, when Davante Adams got traded and when it became apparent that Russell Wilson was going to play, the line moved towards the Jets. The Jets are now favored in this game.